At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Snap is down. Hold is up. Kick is up. And it is good. Ray Davis, your emergency kicker, with a successful PAT.
Good morning, everybody.
Yeah, I'm going to let you do that from now on. I did it once and it felt weird.
I got what I wanted out of the preseason. I'm good. We can wrap the games up. Chris Brown there on the call. I got what I wanted out of the preseason. I didn't think it would happen. After talking with Sal that morning, I thought, you know what? They got to work out their kicker. They don't want to put Ray Davis in danger, what have
you. Running back one as of right now, like, not a good idea.
And then I got it done early.
And you know that was for the, that was just for the, I guess you could say it was for the kicks.
Loved it. I loved it so much. And I didn't know what was happening. I looked away because, like, they're doing the PAT, what have you. And maybe it was you that said something or somebody had said something. So we all looked at the TV.
Yeah.
I had so much fun with that.
Yeah. And that was exclusively for fun.
Yep.
Sean McDermott.
Downplayed it a little bit.
He downplayed it, but he also got, like, honestly, let's be real about it. He got too many questions about that.
He did. That and the James Cook situation, he was about done.
He's like, I'm done talking about my running backs. We're done here.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. The Bills preseason is officially underway. They had their first game and their only home game of the preseason done and over with on Saturday. They fall to the New York Giants 34-25. The final score kind of doesn't matter. There were, though, some pretty good takeaways to get from this. Not end-all, be-all kind of definitive statements. It is still, of course, preseason. And, you know, Derek, I'll tell you now, maybe my favorite takeaway was actually in that post-game press conference. Matt Bove asked the question to McDermott about how much, like, do they game plan for these teams? Like, how much do they really dig deep, look at film, the whole thing for these games? And McDermott got about as close to saying 0% as he could. It's like, it's all about feel. I want to see how these guys react, what have you. That also led me to kind of, you know, take a step back from the game. The All-22 I have not seen has been out yet, so we haven't been able to do like a huge deep dive on the game. But I really like that answer because I think it just more and more proves that there's only so much you're going to take from a preseason game. And what you can take away from it is individual performances. Not an entire unit and how they did, but how did a player look and what have you. And that for me were my big takeaways, especially leaving Saturday into yesterday and kind of like, you know, marinating with the game, rewatching some of the clips and stuff like that. That's where I came away with was very specific players. We can dive into the defense and how they were really not good on third down. And if you want to add in fourth downs, they were even more horrendous in terms of actual percentages on that. They didn't get any sacks, even though I think there was like 51 passing attempts for the Giants. That's not ideal. But looking at a player-by-player basis, there were some pretty good takeaways from this game, or at least things that you can get excited to watch, to keep an eye on as the preseason goes on. Because the time now at St. John Fisher is over with. That ended last week going into the Giants game. Now we're into the more, okay, now we're going to lock it down. Everyone's back at Orchard Park. They are going to have a joint practice this week against Chicago later in the week. But now I think a lot of us have very specific players we're keeping an eye on. I heard Joe DiBiase talking about Curtis Samuel a lot and really what is his future on the roster. No clue. Guys like Tyrell Shavers continue to kind of show out. There were some things that you could take away from this game. Now, I don't think whole unit stuff, but definitely player to player.
Yeah, and I do think that it also has to do with the fact that in the preseason, you know that the schemes are going to be bland. So what you want to see is some high-end plays or showcases of high-end talent in those flashes that you're going to see from these young players.
Mm-hmm.
or from obviously any veteran additions as well, you just want to see the athleticism and the playmaking ability there for you. Things that scheme can't dictate. For example, TJ Sanders getting around his man and crushing Jackson Dart, and Dart more impressively standing in the pocket and delivering a dot. Deion Walker with the move that he makes to have a pass deflection. Or anything of the sort like that. Jordan Hancock running instinctively down the field from a safety position. You want to see things like that. Tyrell Shavers getting down the field, getting open.
Yep.
You want to see things that scheme is not going to dictate. And play calling is not going to dictate. It's the athleticism. Can I see the high-end plays being made? Because that's the thing that you can take away from it. That's what you can take away. I can look at that and go, that's why you got drafted. That's why this team brought you in. That's why you got signed.
And on that, I mean, you bring up TJ Sanders, Deion Walker. I did see the PFF scores for what they're worth about this game. Deion Walker was the highest rated Bills pass rusher. I think he had like two pressures on there. You mentioned up the pass deflection, stuff like that. TJ Sanders, we mentioned the Jackson Dart play. It's a great throw by Dart, and that is the play of the game, I think, just as a whole if you're looking at it nationally. But Sanders, to make that move, to get in there, that's kind of what you want to see. And if you're a Bills fan, that's also what you want to see, is the two of the three young defensive linemen were out there making plays relatively early in the game, for what it's worth. And it's the thing, too, again, for what it's worth and who it's against, what have you. But that's what you wanted to see. You made those additions. And I'm not even bringing up Joey Bosa, who looked great in the run game. And he kind of looked like a guy that after one series, you're like, cool, wrap him in bubble wrap. We'll see you at week one.
Yeah.
We're done. You don't need to play anymore. Same with Matt Milano.
Do your thing with practices, him and Milano. I don't need to see him in anything live anymore for the rest of the preseason. And I think many fans will agree on that, especially because, well, if you're going to see them, it's going to be what? On Saturday? You're not playing him in the third game.
No, probably not.
Starters aren't touching the field in that third game.
No.
They're not even putting on a jersey.
Yeah, especially, well, I mean, we talked about it too, especially with the lack of cutdown days.
Yeah.
The roster's big enough to where, yeah, it's all the backups playing week three.
Yeah.
Just get them out there. We're trying to just wrap this up kind of deal. So, I mean, yeah, there was enough, I think, to take away from this to be excited. I'm just happy now, finally, to get some game reps, especially with the new defensive pieces, just to see them in action, especially for many of us who haven't been able to actually get to camp and see that on a regular basis. That was nice. We didn't even mention Michael Hoyt, who got to play a little bit longer in the game. I think that's him and Ogunjobi. I think mainly due to the fact of, you guys won't be here for 6 weeks. We're going to get your reps now because the younger guy's going to take more of the lion's share.
Yeah, they're going to take more of the share in these next two games to get them more ready for when it goes live, live.
I was happy to see a lot of that stuff. And for them to look good. Again, they didn't get a sack, though, in those 51 pass attempts, you know, passing downs. But there were splash plays. There was enough there that I could get excited about, especially if you're looking at the run defense. They held the Giants to 3.2 yards per carry. That's pretty good. There were also some missed performances. Landon Jackson, kind of the only time I noticed him was when he took away a Jordan Hancock interception.
On lining up off sides, yeah.
That's really the only time I knew he was there. Elijah Moore was quiet. There is a play. I want to see the all 22. There was a play, the Dalton Kincaid catch on third down.
Third Moore, and 15.
Yeah, Moore's running wide open, it looked like.
Moore's getting sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And he's open. But Trubisky probably doesn't see him in time, which is normal considering how well Abdul Carter played in that game.
Yeah, looking back at that play, too,
like you understand
he kind of had to get the ball out quick.
You understand why he didn't get to that read because of the fact that the Giants' pass rush was just kind of getting overwhelming. And especially for a backup quarterback that knows, like, you know, especially Trubisky through his career, we know what he is. You know, there's going to be mistakes made. And he's probably thinking at this moment, I'm in a quarterback competition. I can't make that mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I see Kincaid. Pressure's coming. I don't have any more time.
Yeah, just get rid of the ball.
And it did look like he had another fraction of time if he wanted to make that look, but how confident are you in getting that ball to the intermediate versus the short check down?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to see it? Yes. Do I expect QB1 to get that done? Probably. Did Dalton Kincaid kind of make the most of that rep? Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Got like 11 or 12 yards on a third and 15.
Could be happy with that.
You could be happy about the fact that Kincaid bullied his way and tried to get the first down.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some people getting worried about Trey White, and I'm like, whoever cornerback two is, they're going to get picked on all year. I don't need to cause that to be anything of concern. He was letting, and this is where, again, vanilla schemes in preseason, Trey White was like 7 yards off the ball every play except
every
for like
play.
Two.
Yeah.
And he was with his guy on those two. If you want to be concerned about something, it's the one play where Giants get 11 yards on the play. White's there to make the tackle, but he gets taken for a ride.
He gets dragged about 4 more yards.
He gets four, yeah. It's pretty much like about a 7 yard gain, and then it turns into 11.
Mm-hmm.
That's a play where you're like, okay, you want that one back. But I'm not going to really get too nitpicky over a preseason game, nor am I going to get too high about it either. I do think that if you see something in a preseason game that validates what you're seeing in camp, it's a little bit of a confirmation bias. Yes, but it also shows consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Milano.
Yeah.
We've been seeing it all throughout from the beat reporters. Matt Milano looks like he's back. And what did you see first play? Closes immediately, stops a play from even getting off the ground. Matt Milano looks back. He looks fresh. That is something that you see from camp, and you then see it there, and you're like, okay, that's interesting. The quarterbacks have been, from what we saw, relatively on par with each other. That's the report from camp. Guess what? We saw that with White and Trubisky. We saw that. Tyrell Shavers having himself a good camp. What's he do?
Continue
pops
that.
Pops open for a 58-yard gain. Obviously, you would have liked to see him finish the deal on that one. That would have been cool.
Mm-hmm.
But there was really good closing speed from the corner on that after he got beat. Ball's a good ball, though. It's just not fast enough. And then you also have other things, like the bad side of it, but you don't react strongly one way or another yet. Elijah Moore was quiet. That's not ideal. Landon Jackson was quiet. It's not ideal. That doesn't mean it is what it is. And that can go for all the positives. It doesn't mean that it is what it is.
I was going to say, even for the quiet guys too, Ray Davis. Four carries, seven yards. And that right now is your starting running back with the hold in from James Cook.
Yeah, if you want to overreact from a preseason game, you say Ty Johnson running back one, James Cook who?
Yeah.
Because Johnson looked very impressive. But again, it's one game. Not only is it one game, it's one preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
All the players that took part in this game did not play the full game. So they have limited reps. Trust in what the Bills coaches are seeing and how they're deploying them in the games, because the practice reps are far more bountiful and numerous.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. You want to jump on today's show. Your thoughts on preseason game number one for the Bills. You did mention Tyrell Shavers there, though.
Yes.
And
you have to.
I want to talk about him just because the wide receiver room was always, it felt like, kind of an open competition, mainly due to the fact of how the Bills played. Everyone eats. There was always that feeling that a random guy could get reps. It's why many of us got excited about Elijah Moore or even Curtis Samuel last year. Josh Palmer this year as well. Keon Coleman. The list goes on and on and on. Shavers has found his way into that, and he just kind of continues to be a guy that makes plays. I heard Jeremy and Joe bringing this up today too. Is really the thing he has to work on special teams? Because Virgil had more special team snaps than Shavers did on Saturday. And it may be true, and especially if you're competing for what is likely going to be wide receiver number five. But I do continue to walk away very impressed with Shavers. It's not just the deep bomb that he catches from Trubisky. The moment he's in the game, I think it is Trubisky. Yeah, Trubisky also throws this one.
Yep.
Where it's a slant pattern, but it goes for like 12 yards. It's a first down. It's easy. He looks the part. He's 6'4", 211. I don't think he's going to be a world beater. That's not it. But, mentioning on the pregame over the weekend too, there is going to be a spot for somebody to get like 20, 25 catches that you maybe don't know of yet or maybe haven't thought of too much yet, because that's how they want to play offense. They want to spread the ball around. And when I look at guys like Curtis Samuel, not really hitting yet. You know, Keon Coleman, we're not sure on the consistency. KJ Hamler, kind of an unknown. Laviska Shenault, what does he do outside of the return game? We don't really know. I'm starting to really wonder about Tyrell Shavers maybe being somewhat of a fixture on the offense because he continues to make plays. He continues to look pretty darn good.
It's a consistency thing, and you want to see it through how he ended his season last year with the big explosive play. Now he's having a solid camp. He's putting those practices together. You put it a little together, you get the consistency, and you try to make it pay off. And that's the thing you want to look for in the preseason is can you string those together through the couple of games that you play through very limited reps? You're not getting a lot of snaps. You're not getting a huge snap share. It's just not happening. The best snap share you got was probably what? Dorian Strong, Jamarcus Ingram at the end of the game, just getting all
backup
those reps.
Corners, yeah, where it's like you have to play. We're a little bit limited. The safety's probably the same thing. We're a little bit limited there. You're going to have to play
quite
a bit. And that's where you also saw Jordan Hancock. He did a lot on Saturday. And
he did.
Yeah, so that's probably where you're going to get it. The wide receivers maybe a little bit less so. And it's, again, where I like Shavers is that he, in his limited moments, I mean, that's the thing now. In the last few games Bills fans have of Shavers, he's made two huge plays.
Right.
You have the breakaway touchdown against New England, then you have this 58-yard catch on Saturday. So he's done enough for a lot of Bills fans to have a feeling about him that is more than positive.
And
he's not a name that came up a lot in terms of who's going to be the preseason like camp hero and stuff like that. He might be that guy.
He might be that guy. And I'm not sure if it's because of the fact that he was on the roster last year and he does have a touchdown to his name like within the regular season, but maybe that's why. It's because of the fact that he's already here. He's already been here.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, okay, he's already here. How's he going to be a camp hero if he's already here?
Yeah.
Well, this is how. But then you see Andreessen looking the part, and that's something that was coming from camp. And validated by the Bills themselves when they released Baylen Specter wave injured. Well, there's a reason they're able to do that as well. It's because they know what they have now at linebacker two.
Yeah.
Behind Terrell Bernard. They can do it because, yeah.
Andreessen.
You can get away with it now.
Andreessen is fun too. He looks like he belongs in run defense. I mean, just flat out. He sets the edge well. He's kind of where the ball is every time it felt like. The only thing now for him, especially as a backup middle linebacker, how are you in coverage? I think that's kind of the last thing we've sort of got to figure out with Andreessen.
Yes, because if Bernard's out for a certain amount of snaps even in a game.
And he did miss time last year. I mean,
he missed time last year. He missed games last year.
Mm-hmm.
But can you get by? And it looks like you can be a little bit more confident in Andreessen helping get you by.
Yeah.
Which is a big deal. And this comes from not just one game. It is through last season making the team as an undrafted free agent. This is hearing the reports in camp that he has been solid.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the consistency thing. You want to see more players be able to make some noise, but don't get too high, don't get too low. That's how the preseason pledge goes. That's how we're supposed to swear it every year.
It just gets a little hard when like certain players pop off or disastrous.
Yeah, it's the extremes, like one major or the other, and it's like, okay, guys,
right.
everyone, people, settle it down. But you do want to try to take things away.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it is, am I seeing pop plays from players with their athleticism? Am I seeing smart, instinctual plays from somebody that tells me that they're a safe bet to make this roster?
Mm-hmm.
What am I seeing that correlates with the camp reports that we're getting? Can those go hand in hand, or are they flying in the face of something? Are the lights too bright?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you just legitimately a game day guy?
I feel like
that's the
gamer thing, too, is always that's a frustrating one because with preseason especially, you have to marry the two.
Exactly.
Of camp and games. And so if you're somebody that we're hearing, he's not really doing much in practice, but the game time rolls around, especially in the preseason. Was it in the third and fourth quarter? Or was it they're in the first quarter against the starters or the limited amount that there are, and they're doing this? It's there is going to have to be a kind of uncomfortable marriage with that, because it is so difficult to get anything from this. There will be guys who pop off the entire preseason, Trey Lance for the Chargers, and you won't hear about them for the entire year.
Obvious reasons.
For obvious reasons, but you know, he's just an example. But there will be a wide receiver that looks awesome in preseason. How is he not starting on any given team? And you won't hear about them until the last game of the season where a bunch of guys are sitting.
Or sometimes ever again.
Or sometimes ever again. It does happen very regularly. It's why we talk about preseason and camp heroes. So that's where it's got to be the marriage between the two. And you've talked about it with deployment. You know, where are guys? We know Andreessen has been the backup middle linebacker. So watching his development is with much more interest, because we know Bernard has missed some games. You already have the story involved with Andreessen, and now we're starting to see the practice and game time stuff is looping together and building up. Shavers is a little bit more uncomfortable. We don't totally know where he's been deployed within the Bills' practice schedules. We do know there's been receivers that have been out with injuries, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's been with the ones.
And to make that further point, you worry about a player's spot on their roster based on their deployment in Game 3. The fact that there were players playing in that fourth quarter on Saturday, those are not cut candidates yet or right away. There are some obvious ones. Like, obviously, I'm pretty sure that Shane Buechele is very locked into not being even a backup quarterback.
It's fine.
But
we're just happy he was here.
Tyrell Shavers was not playing in the fourth quarter, for example, though.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean one thing or another for, say, Dorian Strong and Jamarcus Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
They may be fighting against each other for a spot, for example. You give them the reps and all the reps that they need.
Yeah.
Or it's to Corey Couch playing late in that fourth quarter. What I look at, though, is who are the next ones up after the starters went?
That's what you
keep Shavers.
On. Yeah. Hamler. Moore, I think, was out there.
Strong
as well.
And Jackson.
Yep.
Hancock.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things you need to write down in your mind. Like, okay, let's see here. That's who that was. Okay. And you figure it out from there. Davidson was the first tight end. Davidson struggled. Davidson had a bad day. Jackson Hawes drops his only pass.
The only target. And it's playing catch.
Yeah.
Stuff.
So, not a great day for tight end threes, but, you know, that's also tight end three. Keonta Jenkins is the next guy up instead of Ed Ulofashio.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good.
Yep, and I know Sal's brought up his name, Eddie Ulofashio, as potentially a cut candidate. He's only a draft pick from a few years ago, but, yeah, he's one of those guys, later round guys. We'll see what happens. Let's get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to give your thoughts today on preseason game number one for the Bills. We'll start today off with Mike on the line. Mike, how are we doing today?
Good, thank you. I guess my complaint, and this is, I get it, it's preseason football. You can't take too much from it. I mean, all the same old cliches.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of emblematic of, I think, what has plagued this defense through the Josh Allen era, and why they can't get to that next level, is the third down inefficiency. You can go back to Leslie Frazier. I mean, and some of this has got to be on the head coach. Some of the responsibility has got to be on the head coach for this. But this third down, and I don't know what's going on and why they can't fix this. But if this continues like it has, like I said, through the Josh Allen era, I just don't see this team get.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Into the next level.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for the call. This was something we talked about on the post game on Saturday too, and to a negative extent, like Shavers. Mm-hmm. What are the memories you have of him from last year into this year? It's the big touchdown against New England. Into this year, he gets another big pass play, right? This is that negative aspect of the third down defense was not good last year,
yeah.
And we came into Saturday, and the Giants go 9 of 19.
If you the add last the fourth, time you saw them.
Yeah, and if you add the fourth downs, by the way, they went 2 for 2 on that. So really, in terms of conversions and keeping drives going, they were 11 of 19.
Which is terrible.
The Bills, by the way, on offense were 1 of 9 on third downs. So they themselves were also not great.
I mean, you have your third down problem solver not suiting up.
Right, right.
I'm going to not be shocked if the Bills go 1 of 9 on third downs.
When Trubisky or Mike White or Shane Buechele are your quarterbacks.
Like, I'm okay with that. I understand. But the defense, it is a little bit of pattern recognition and confirmation bias. Again, positive or negative. Schemes in preseason are meant to be vanilla as all heck. But would you like to see a play every now and then? Yeah. You don't want them converting on ultimately 11 of 19 third or fourth downs. Moving the chains like that, you should say. In later down conversion rates, you don't want to see that. No matter how bland the scheme is, you do want someone to make a play. And that's where I look at the defensive end depth and go, where are you?
And that's why they added so much in the offseason. I think you can look at the screens. The screens is its own other demon. That's something as well.
Death, taxes, and the Bills
but those
being
third,
damaged by screens.
But those third and long situations, that is why you drafted TJ Sanders and traded up for him in the second round. It's why you added another guy in the fourth round in Deion Walker. It's why you also drafted a high potential, you know, high-end athlete in Landon Jackson. They need to get home on these third downs, on these passing situations. They need to get home. There were also a lot of third and shorts because of, well, they were picking on Trey White to the side. He was, you know, 5-6 yards off the line of scrimmage. But I think it is fair, though, to walk away and go, man, is third downs really still going to be a problem? I think it's fair.
Even then, the starters do ultimately force a field goal. Then they're done for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the Giants get down the field.
Yeah, they didn't look great, though, the whole way there.
They didn't look great the whole way, but guess what? They did what they usually do. Bend, don't break.
But
fine. You are also not facing Malik Nabers.
You're also not facing Malik Nabers, and to be fair, this whole bend, don't break thing has gotten you killed in the playoffs.
It's gotten you killed in the playoffs. I'm not worried about it for the first preseason game, which is, can you limit from 6 going on the board? All right, cool. Get out.
803-0550, the number to call. Your takeaways from game number one of the Bills preseason. We'll also read some of your tweets as well. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR.
Holy smokes. I got a shot.
He just kicked a 70-yard field goal. Are you kidding me?
Crazy.
That would be an NFL record.
Holy smokes.
That's unbelievable.
Jacksonville Jaguars kicker Cam Little. 70-yard field goal to close out the first half. Only problem? Doesn't count in the record books. It's a preseason game. As much as we'll keep stats for the preseason, does not count. And to that point, Glenn tweets in, none of this matters if a 70-yard field goal doesn't count. NFL really needs to be like college. Cut the preseason, add the regular season games the NFL is craving, and, this is maybe controversial, go so we can have the Super Bowl in March. I think that's a bit too long.
Unless he's saying push the schedule.
Well, he's also saying get rid of the preseason games, which
I think he's saying like
we're
starting now. Like we're starting at the in the middle of August or we start in September
to
add it. Yeah.
Push it to March, you're starting in September.
You're still starting in September. We're just going long in camp with no games, and then we just add those games on.
But long in camp means you're starting in August and not July.
Ugh. I just don't want the Super Bowl in March. By the end of the season, I think we're all kind of just we're drained. It's a lot of guilty of it too. It's a lot of talk all the time. It kind of takes over your life. By the end, you're like, okay, I'm really glad it's one game left. And then 2 weeks later, you're like, I'm ready for football to begin. But
Mm. I don't know.
I don't know about Super Bowl in March. That's
Oh, here we go. We got classic preseason overreaction on ESPN here. Are the Giants already being slept on?
Oh, what are you talking about? Abdul Carter looking like a menace. Jackson Dart in the face of danger drops an absolute beauty to Hook'em Horns, little Jordan Humphrey. I mean, I understand it.
This is what's wrong with this country.
The Super Bowl in March thing, though, really does. The NFL won't want that simply for the fact of they lose all of their draft coverage.
Yeah.
Like, they would have everything still ultimately be the same. You'd still be covering them for all of February and all of March, but they'd have to go right into draft coverage, or would they do kind of what the NBA does, where, like, the combine's, like, around the end of the season? And no, they're not going to do that. The NFL loves to space everything out.
The NFL loves being a 12-month league.
Yeah. Rather than we're going to clump our two biggest things, obviously the season and then the draft, together, they're not going to want
to do that. But most of what that man is saying is right, though. Like, add that 18th game, get rid of the preseason.
Let's ride.
And let's just go.
The Jaguars are going to try to get Cam Little that record, aren't they?
I don't know.
Now that they know he's got it, and
you
can't necessarily hear it in that clip, but he had about five more yards to give on that.
I don't know about that. I think he was at his limit.
I think they're going to try, though. And the thing is, that's a dangerous weapon, too, if you can cross the 50 and essentially be in field goal range.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous way. At least to try.
Especially how touchbacks are.
At least to try, yes. And with what touchbacks are, at least to try, that's a dangerous weapon. They're going to try to get him the record. Now that they know he's got it in his wheelhouse, they should.
I don't know about should. You have, like, there is evidence of it existing.
Mm-hmm.
That is there. It's just not in the record book.
Well, I'm saying should, in the sense of, instead of punting, because it's, fourth and eight, and it's going to be like a 7-yard field goal, try it.
Why do you think they're trying it, though, Zach?
Well, it's preseason. They want to see if he's got it.
It's
do
preseason,
it.
And also it's the kick before the end of a half.
Yeah. So at that point, try it.
That kind of
situation. If they're in a situation again, they'll try it.
That's the thing. The situation has to dictate that. But if there's more than like 2 seconds left on the clock, like say there's 10 seconds left, you're not trying it. You want to know why? There's a run back opportunity. Or you miss it, the other team could now just flip the field and do the same thing. Quite literally, you would have battling field goals.
I mean, that's coaching scared as hell then. That is coaching so scared.
What do you think NFL coaches do?
I don't disagree, but that's like almost cowardly. I know my kicker's got this, but I'm really scared they might return this in a 1 in a million play. So we're not going to try this.
Or
if that happened, I'd be – and it's Liam Cohen, it's a young guy.
I'd probably say it has to do more with, if we miss this, they can turn around and kick the field goal anyway. And it's not 70 yards. We're losing that battle.
I want them to try it again.
That's why I don't think it would happen.
I want them to try it again. He's got it in his wheelhouse, and it was comfortably made. They can do it again. 803-0550, the number to call. Your takeaways from game number one of the preseason. Jonathan tweets in, shaver season loading. What is the season going to be for him? Let's say right now he makes the roster, he's wide receiver 5. But what would then be a great season for him? I'm not sitting here going he's going to be the Victor Cruz, right? I brought him up a lot as that sort of preseason camp hero, what have you, for the Giants. He popped off. He found himself in the preseason. I don't think that's a thing that's going to happen.
Correct.
But like 20, 25 catches, being a guy that's out there, pretty good at blocking, they can actually throw him out there regularly and get good reps from him. That's good. He's part of that young receiver core as well. They really don't have an old wide receiver. And we are all sitting here wondering, what is Curtis Samuel on this roster? And his position is somewhat oversaturated with a lot of guys that can do his role.
Yeah, and that's kind of where you get into this problem of, like, maybe you're not a cut candidate necessarily based on your contract, but could you be unloaded to a team that is in need of some wide receivers and you can sell them on, mm-hmm. Hey, can we do a pick swap? I'll give you Curtis Samuel.
I think that's becoming more and more likely.
It's more and more likely because why do the Bills need to worry about having Samuel on this team if they have
mm-hmm.
Shavers and Hamler and
Moore
and Elijah Moore?
Well, and that's the thing too.
Being a cheaper option.
Cheaper option, and we bring up the Moore play. they go back to the film room. If he is wide open and nailed it and Mitch just didn't get
the ball, wide receiver coach
that's
looks
a,
at that.
Yeah, that's a plus to Moore. It's not a negative, I didn't get the ball so it doesn't count. That's a plus in the film room. That matters to these guys. And for Samuel, again, it's just there is no real positives. Now, we brought up with Shavers and we brought up with the defense on negative ends. Samuel, when he was healthy at the end of the year, actually started to look like the guy you gave a 3-year deal to.
Right.
But again, he's not healthy. And unlike Cole Bishop, who's a drafted player, you don't really have the room in the safety room to be like, you know what, screw it, we're just going to move on. You have room in the wide receiver room.
And oddly enough, with all the injuries that happened at wide receiver in camp, there were a lot more of them available to him in the preseason game than the secondary.
Yep.
Oddly enough, that's not an accident at that point.
Yep.
So you pay attention to those things.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll start this segment off with Tom on the line. Tom, how are we doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, doing well.
Okay, so I watched the whole game on Saturday afternoon, and I have some observations. I mean, I know it was preseason. I know that we're going to give away our offense, and I'm really not talking about the offense at all. I've got some things that concern me, like lining up in a neutral zone and going out of bounds without being pushed out. Those are the kind of things that should be drummed into the heads of those people. And I've seen a lot of it last year during the regular season, and then we see it again. I also noticed in the, especially in the first quarter, and then maybe I didn't notice it as much, were slips on the field.
Yeah.
With guys trying to make a turn, and they just feet went out from under them. Do we have a problem with a worn-out rug or something? I mean, these kind of things lead to soft tissue injuries. And that's a concern to me. And like the previous caller, we were just playing awful on third down, and then even fourth down convert stops. They got almost every time. What were they at, 75%?
Yeah, they were 11 of 19 if you combine the fourth and third down conversions. I mean, it was a ridiculous pop. Tom, thanks for the call. On the field thing, though, too.
That's a good
– we brought that up when we were just hanging out together watching the game, getting ready for halftime and then postgame. Mm-hmm. We were both like – and it was for both teams.
It was catching a lot of people
there. What is going on?
Yeah, I would look into the –
It seemed to go away. I didn't remember bringing it up a lot after maybe the first quarter. I would still look into it. But yeah, look into it.
I would still look into it. Make sure you got proper turf for week one against Baltimore.
I do.
There were a lot of slips from both teams, though. It's like it's enough to where it's noteworthy.
Mm-hmm.
It's pointed out.
It did absolutely happen. The lining up in the neutral zone, Landon Jackson talking about someone getting positives in the film room. That'll be negative.
That's gonna be you look away.
I mean, I tweeted out rookie on rookie crime. That's a big play from Hancock. He was right where he needed to be. By the way, continuing a really good day from Jordan Hancock. Him is the safeties, maybe in general, is who I'm most excited to see what the All-22 shows. Because safety, you do not get a lot of on the actual television broadcast. There's much more for the film stuff. But Hancock seemed to be almost everywhere you wanted him to be. That pick was great for him. And it's taken away because Landon Jackson lines up in the neutral zone.
Which
that was kind of the only
second
thing
time
he did.
That day.
Yeah.
Ed Oliver also does it in the first quarter.
Right,
so
right.
So it's like, guys, you can't be doing that.
Don't be pulling the D Ford. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going.
Don't
the D Ford. The D Ford mention. Like, yeah, I guess the Kansas City Chiefs turned their fortunes around after that play, but man, they did not get to a Super Bowl because
yeah, never forget. D Ford made
D
sure
Ford
that we
lined
didn't
up
have
in
to,
the neutral zone.
We didn't have to deal with
on
more
an interception.
Of the I think, was it an interception or just a fourth down stop?
It was either way. Like, it was a turnover.
Yeah, it was a turnover, and that ends it.
And it ends the game, except it doesn't.
The third down stuff, though, I can fully understand anyone being any sort of discouraged. Because, I was too, because that was a continuation from last year.
It's
they were
the last
not
thing
a
you
great
saw.
Third down defensive team. It's why they added so much to the defensive line. It's not just the rookies. It is also Bosa and Hoyt and Ogunjobi. They need those guys to get home. I think it's also why, and Sal's brought this up a lot when we've talked with them and everyone else on the station has talked to them, that they have been going away a little bit from that zone-heavy system to more man coverage. They've got to get home, though. I also have to get way better at defending screens. That's not just a preseason thing. That is a Bills defense
that
they don't do particularly well against screen passes.
The screen pass thing, like, come on. Can we
I wish I could
not
find any numbers on the on a successful screen run against the Bills defense. It feels like it's 90% of the time.
It feels like it's like 90% of the time it works every time. Like, I also wonder what a screen pass looks like in practice. because the Bills are not particularly good at running them themselves.
That might be the biggest problem. That might be the problem, Derek.
Is it that the defense is so bad that the offense thinks that they're good at it?
No, I think it's the opposite. The offense is so bad at it, the defense thinks they nailed it. And then they go and run it in a game, and they're like, oh, we've been fooled. We've been bamboozled.
The chicken and the egg conversation with Bills in the screen game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think every screen
once again, though, my insides.
Pass rush needs to be married to its coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm bringing this one back from last year. Please don't file for a divorce.
803-0550, the number to call. John, if you hang on the line, we'll get to you after this quick timeout. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, wrapping up hour number one on a beautiful Monday, although it is expected to get very hot, so do be drinking water if you're going to be outside a lot today. I know it also got super hot. A little bit of a heat advisory warning on Saturday as well.
Yeah, there was a heat advisory from Highmark Stadium, actually. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hopefully it...
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut.
An artist.
An actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Everyone drank enough water, stayed cool. You get to do it again today. The elite season is coming. Hold strong.
Hold strong. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's go back to the phones here. John is with us. John, you're on WGR. How are we doing, man?
Good morning, man. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Question for you guys. I heard you talk about Super Bowls and everything. I thought the NFL should, you know, throw a loop in there and have the Super Bowl in a cold game. Have it in the Green Bay, Buffalo, Pittsburgh. You know, start something new. Just starting to have more and more international games, primetime games. It would be great to have an outdoor game in the elements playing football.
John, totally understand that. I'm totally with you on that to a certain extent. The problem is, once the Super Bowls have now gotten big, you are hosting an event. This is why, even with the talks of the new Bills Stadium, like make it a dome, you'll bring a Super Bowl here?
Nope.
No. Buffalo.
Infrastructure.
Yeah, Buffalo, Green Bay, they simply don't have the infrastructure. And in terms of the outside stuff, I know it's fun and cool because like the historical aspect, they make for pretty bad games and bad viewing experiences for a lot of people as well. For every Green Bay and Buffalo fan that loves, you know, being out in the elements, the cold, what have you.
The casual doesn't.
You remember 2014, the Super Bowl was in New York for Denver and Seattle. It wasn't a particularly good game. And also, you do typically want to see the teams at their best. Denver wasn't highly explosive offense, and they were playing in very, very cold temperatures. And if that happened to snow that week and it was a snow game, it looks beautiful. I'm not denying that. I think everyone loves the aesthetic of a snow game or even a weather game. But here, perfect example. We're Bills fans here. If all of a sudden it was snowing so much that Josh Allen couldn't throw the ball in a Super Bowl and that became the reason why they lost, they have won games, San Francisco here in Buffalo last year. They also could lose those games in equal measure. And that's how you want to lose is because the NFL wanted to change it up and have a little more fun. No, it's why they go to domes.
They went to it one time.
And that was it. And they've left it
that's
at that.
That's it. Because, ready? Minnesota, it's a dome.
Yeah.
Detroit, it's a dome.
Yep.
They did it one time and they thought to themselves, yeah, we're good.
No
actually,
more of that.
We'll give New Orleans its 11th game.
And it's also where you see, too, like Jacksonville's only gotten the one. In 05, Tampa is sort of almost notorious now for the 06 Super Bowl where it was a monsoon. Sort of the same thing. Peyton Manning goes in for that Super Bowl, and it's wow. Two of the three Super Bowls he was in was somewhat of a weather factor, either being cold when he was with Denver, or two of the four, excuse me. I forgot. Mm-hmm. He does make another one eventually. But two of the four, he's got the Tampa Bay kind of gross game, and then he has the New York kind of cold-ish weather game. They're going to keep it, for the most part, domes. You know, it's New Orleans, it's Los Angeles, it's Arizona, Houston. I'm surprised Dallas only has one, by the way, 2011. I'm a little surprised by that.
Considering Jerry Boy?
Yeah, kind of. Like, you would assume that he would want, like, that spectacle. And again, you also look at some of the cold weather cities that have gotten it with the domes. You know, Minneapolis has the infrastructure. Indianapolis holds a lot of conventions. They host the Combine. They have the infrastructure to get it done. Detroit, sort of the same thing. Buffalo, Green Bay, they don't.
Even then, Indy hasn't gotten it since 2012.
Right, so it's been a long time since
they've
had it.
It's been a long time for them. It's been 1 year longer for Dallas. But what they do seem to do is they like to go back to Santa Clara, Atlanta, Miami, New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. And this year, by the way, it is going to be in San Francisco.
And Inglewood gets the next one, and then Atlanta.
Yep. Now, it can be annoying if you're a big college football fan, because boy, oh boy, do you see these same stadiums over and over and over again in any of the big games, not
right.
even just the national championships, the bowl games, and even these preseason kind of big matchups on neutral sites. 803-0550, the number to call. Your takeaways from game number one of the preseason. Could be Bills-Giants if you also had something else like a 70-yard field goal that's not going to count in the regular books. We'll absolutely love to hear from that as well. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.